Good evening. Open your Bibles, please, to Esther chapter 9. Esther chapter 9. Good morning. I had contacted the pastor out there by email, and I must have used the wrong email address because Sunday morning at about, 9 o'clock, 8:45, I got a text message from him. He said, "Happy birthday." And I sent back, "Thank you. I'll see you in 1 hour." And he was not expecting me. So we got to the church about a little before 10. Sunday school starts at 10 o'clock out there, just like it does here. And I hope I can make this simple and clear, but it was just a little bit like heaven. What do you think it's going to be like when you get to heaven? Now, of course, there's going to be some amazing things to see. Amen? And the visual aspect of it, you know, the streets of gold and those kind of things. But the Lord Jesus Christ will be there. That's the most important thing. But won't it be great to see people from days gone by? People that have stepped into eternity, people that you knew, maybe, for example, somebody you knew that moved away or something like that. And one of the things about heaven is going to be all will be forgiven. And there is no more conflict, no more argument, no more battle, no more enemy, no more threat, no more danger, no more suffering. All the things that make our lives difficult and cause sadness and heartache, they'll all be gone. And then you just get to, I know good and well, we're going to enjoy seeing one another and seeing others that we've missed or that have stepped into eternity along the way and realizing this is eternal. There'll never be a parting over there, as the song says. How's that go there? No more something. I don't know. There's a good song about that anyway. I'm not close enough to it to quote it well. So in Esther chapter 9, when you get down to the middle of the chapter, even before that, but by the time you get to where we are tonight, I'm going to start in verse 16. The conflict is over. And so the rest of the book, which we'll finish next Wednesday, which is the last few verses of chapter 9, and chapter 10 is, I think it's one of the shortest chapters in the Bible. It may be. Just about almost the shortest, I'm not sure, but it's one of the shortest. We'll look at that next week. But look in chapter 9, and let's see, let's begin in verse 16. Just to remind you what was happening, those Jews in the provinces had gathered together, they stood for their lives. They had rest from their enemies, slew of their foes 75,000. They had laid not their hands on the prey. Verse 17, Esther 9:17. On the 13th day of the month, Adar. Now, that's an interesting thing. Let's just talk about the Hebrew calendar for a second because there is some comparison to ours. The word Adar means large. I'm not sure how significant that is, but it's interesting. This is the sixth month. The Jews have two calendars. They have a civil calendar and a religious calendar. In the civil calendar, this is the sixth month. We only have one calendar. And our calendar, I don't know if it's either civil or religious, but it's the 12th month of their religious calendar. So in their religious calendar, you might think of it as December, but it actually is March, April is when this was taking place. It's the springtime. Now, what is significant about March, April? The month Adar goes from what we would call the first, the new moon in March until the new moon in April. And the Jews actually had a system where they had fires on top of mountains, and on very important days, they would light these fires. And so all over the country, you'd see these fires, and you knew, hey, this is an important day. The new moon in March and the new moon in April are the boundaries of Adar, and that's the month when Christ rose. And didn't he defeat our enemies? And didn't he give us rest? And didn't he give us victory? And didn't he do the work, kind of like Esther. He endangered himself, and in fact, he died for us. And so there's a little picture there, I think, of Christ when you see Esther here. And she's the reason that all this is able to happen, is because of what she was willing to do. So just two or three things you can see beginning in verse 17 about this day. And there's really 2 days in question here. If you look at verse 17, on the 13th day and the 14th day of the same, they rested. They made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews which were in Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th day thereof, and on the 15th day of the same they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. So you get these two groups of people, the ones in the provinces, they're a day ahead, and then the ones in the palace, they're a day behind. So it's not that important, but they have a day that's special to them. And Christmas is a special day to us, amen? Resurrection Sunday is a special day to us. I've had people come to me and they'll say, Pastor, do you celebrate Christmas? Oh, you bet I do. I was over at Fry's tonight getting some candy for Olivia for her birthday, and I walked out and I walked in. And it's almost like some people are afraid to say it. I hope you say it. Merry Christmas. Right? Someone says Happy Holidays. They are, but that's not the point. The point is Merry Christmas. It's Christmas. It's the day when Christ, we celebrate when Christ was born. Do we know it was the exact day? We do not. Do we want to pick a day and worship and celebrate? Yes, we do. And I like the 25th as well as any. I've got a lesson I've taught here in Sunday school somewhere along the way, perhaps, that goes all the way back to the priest Zechariah and the course of Zechariah. And it uses the Jewish religious calendar, I believe it is, and it shows how Zechariah's course was a certain course, and that was in a certain month, and comes down to it looks like December's a pretty good time. Of course, you know that December has the shortest month of the year, or shortest day of the year, and the days begin to get longer after about the 21st. So that's kind of poignant. But anyway, we pick a day and we celebrate. And folks, that's okay. The Jehovah's Witnesses say you shouldn't do that. Well, they don't know who Christ is either, so I'm not going to listen to them. But we know who Christ is. We have a special day as well. What about the day you were saved? How many of you know the calendar day when you were saved? How many of you do not know the calendar day? You just know you got saved. My hand is up. I tried one time. I was saved in a church in Carlsbad, New Mexico. I called them and I said, hey, I tried to call them and they're not there anymore. And I thought somewhere somebody has the records of when I got baptized and when I got saved, and no, they don't exist. But God knows, and I know. I can't pick the day, but I know it happened. I can remember the event. Let's look at this day real quick, just two or three things. And you got to remember the purpose of this day. This is kind of like Christmas. This day has a purpose. They're going to keep celebrating this year after year after year. In fact, they still do. It's called the Feast of Purim. Why do they call it that? Do you know? Because Haman, that wicked man, cast Pur, P-U-R, to decide what day to destroy the Jews. And God took that and turned it. In fact, you'll see the word because here in a minute if I get around to it. God took that and turned it from a day of defeat to a day of victory. The devil and those wicked people that served him crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And God took it from a day of defeat and turned it into a day of victory. So let's look at this special day here. Just two or three things about it. We won't be long. First, go back to verse 17 again. They made it a day of feasting and gladness. Feasting and gladness. Isn't it funny how Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Easter, for some reason for us, isn't the meal a big deal? Amen? It finally hit me like a ton of bricks. Thanksgiving turkey, Christmas ham. I couldn't even find a ham in the grocery store at Thanksgiving because that's just the way it works, especially, I guess, in Arizona. You eat turkey at Thanksgiving. How many of you like ham? How many of you don't like ham? Roast beef is really good. Menudo is really. What do you cook, Irene, when you have Christmas? Yeah, good menudo, white menudo. But I remember when I was a little boy, we had big meals. I forgot what they were now, but I'm looking forward to Christmas dinner. You, Bronson, Christmas dinner? Going to do a Christmas dinner? Amen? Something. McDonald's will be closed, man. I don't know how to help you. Sir, Denny's? Yeah, Cracker Barrel, they open on Christmas? I don't know. Come to our house if you need. We'll feed you. There'll be something to eat. No, we feast when we celebrate, don't we? You say, well, that's just not a good thing to do. Well, they did it in the Bible, so I think it's a good thing to do. Amen? They made it a day of feasting and gladness. Talks about the Jews in Shushan, look at the end of verse 18. They made it a day of feasting and gladness. Look at verse 19. Therefore, the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns, they made it the 14th day of the month Adar, a day of gladness and feasting, a good day, a day of sending portions to one another. Well, how about that? They were sending each other gifts. Don't you like to get a gift? I think some of my favorite gifts are food. And this year at Christmas, we were shopping for some people. I couldn't find any food baskets in Maryland. I don't know what their problem is out there. But do you remember, what was that name of that thing? Something Farms. Who is it? Hickory Farms, that's it. In the Christmas time in the mall, I haven't been in a mall in a long time, but in the mall at Christmas time, they'd set up a thing out there in the middle of the mall, and they'd be selling all those food baskets. Remember those? And that's what these folks were doing. They were sending portions to each other. And later on it says they sent portions to the poor. It didn't matter which day it was, the 14th or the 15th. You can pick your day. If you don't like the 25th, pick one. But what mattered was they remembered what God did. Amen? And it made them happy. It was a good day. That's why Bronson likes Christmas carols. He just hadn't quite figured that out yet. Because it's a happy time, isn't it? And it ought to be. And if somebody doesn't want to celebrate Christmas, I shake my head. I don't think the devil celebrates Christmas. Or Resurrection Sunday. Or anything else that glorifies God. But I'm glad to say Merry Christmas. And when the fellow said it to me tonight, he was kind of covering his bases. He said, Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas. And I thought to myself, he's afraid he's going to offend me. And so sometimes if I'm thinking, I'll say to somebody, thank you for saying Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. Amen? And we got to wear that button. Remember those little buttons you used to wear? Christ is the reason for the season. Or I had one button I used to wear. It's okay to say Merry Christmas to me or something like that. It's Christmas. It's about Christ. Oh, as long as I'm on the subject, you know, there's two kinds of Christmas carols. There are Christian Christmas carols like O Holy Night, Angels We Have Heard on High, Little Town of Bethlehem. And what do they talk about? Christ. Then in the 1900s, some people said, well, we really do like Christmas, but we don't like thinking about Christ because we're living in sin, and sin is what we're about. We're not about Christ, so we have secular Christmas carols. One of the first famous ones was Bing Crosby, I believe he sang, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. And that's nice. I like snow at Christmas. Don't get your hopes up in Arizona, but unless you live in Flagstaff. But the point is, if you listen to that song, it doesn't talk about Christ, does it? Jingle bells, those kind of things. I'm not against those songs. I mean, if somebody sings one, it doesn't hurt my feelings. But I sure do like Silent Night. I sure do like Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem or Joy to the World, the Lord has come. That's Christmas. So these folks made it a special day. It was a day of celebration. They celebrated what God had done. It was a day of commemoration. Look at verse 20. I'll only be about 10 more minutes, but this is interesting. Look at verse 20. Mordecai, remember him? There was a day when it looked like Mordecai was a goner because Haman hated him. And Haman planned on hanging him on a gallows 75 feet high, had it built. Haman hated Mordecai, and Haman had plans for Mordecai's death. And guess who died? Wasn't Mordecai. Satan had plans for your death. He hates you. He hated you. He wanted to send you or take you to hell. And guess who's going to die? If you've received Christ, it won't be you. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ gave you victory. Satan's the one going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And anybody that rejected Christ, sadly, is going to be there with him. But folks, you and I are a little bit like Mordecai. Somebody wicked had it in for us, and God gave us the victory. You see, this is all good stuff. It's just like heaven. We're going to step into eternity and realize the victory is won. That's what they're doing. They're resting. They're celebrating. They're joyful. It's a day of commemoration. Look at verse 20. He sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th month of the same yearly. Already mentioned it, but I'll say it again. The plan was, don't forget. So every year, we're going to stop and we're going to say, I remember what God did. You know, there's going to be months in heaven. You say, Pastor, how can that be? There won't be a sun. I don't know how they're going to be measured, but I do know that there is a tree of life, and it's going to give fruit in the months, the Bible says in the Revelation. And somehow in heaven, I don't know if we'll count those things up and have years till you realize if you counted the years in eternity, you're going to run out of numbers sooner or later. Can you imagine that? You say, wow, a million years. That's nothing. You know, you write a one and put it right over there by that Christmas tree and start writing zeros. Little tiny ones. Go all the way around the auditorium real slow. Zero, 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 zero. If you want to put a comma between every three, that's fine, but it won't make any difference. Zero, 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 zero. Little tiny zeros. Thousands of them. Thousands of them. Zero, 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 zero. And you get over here to the wreath on the door and you've got zeros. And after we've been in heaven that many years with the one and all those zeros, that's just the beginning. It's eternal. And still, no conflict, no sadness, no sin, no suffering, no sickness, no hospitals, no doctors, no policemen, no 911, no enemies. But folks, take that same number of years. Somebody's going to be in hell that long. Eternity is forever. That's why they're happy. They're going to remember what God did because they've been delivered. We ought to remember what God did because we've been delivered. Have you been delivered? Really, truly, you know it. Well, I hope you do. I wouldn't want to gamble with that many, I don't know what number you want to call that, years in hell just to start. But I'm sure looking forward to that many years with Christ in heaven and with the folks we love and the folks we miss and the folks that have gone before us. It's a day of celebration. It was a day of commemoration. Well, what are they commemorating? Look at verse 22. He says, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, from mourning into a good day, and that they should make them days of feasting and joy and send portions to one another and to the poor. And so Mordecai sends a letter and says, you need to do this every year to remember what God did. It's a day of celebration, a day of commemoration. Now, here's my because right here in verse 24. He says, verse 23, first of all, the Jews undertook to do as they had begun and as Mordecai had written unto them, because something had changed. It was a day of conclusion. Because, verse 24, Haman, think of Satan, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy, think of Satan again, of all the Jews. He had devised against the Jews to destroy them and had cast Pur, that is, the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But, verse 25, B-U-T, In other words, something else happened. I used to have a pastor friend, and he told me that every time he sees that word in the Bible, he'd put a cross there, because the cross changes things. So Haman had a plan. Satan had a plan. But that's where God stepped in. When Esther came before the king, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ came before God. What did he tell Mary in the garden when she recognized who he was? Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father in heaven. He was prepared to make a final offering for our sin, if you will. And that's complicated. I didn't say that right. But the point is, there was an appearance. And because of that appearance, our sin has been taken away forever. Esther, she was the one that came before the king. So he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which Haman, devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Something changed. There was a conclusion. There was a victory. Folks, aren't you glad you're not having to get saved over and over again? Wouldn't you hate to be worried about that? I know I'm saved today, but what if I accidentally get lost right before I die? That'd be a horrible way to live, wouldn't it? If you are saved, and that's between you and the Lord, and hopefully you have some evidence of it, if you are saved, it's eternal. You will not lose that salvation. If God gave you eternal life and took it back, it wasn't very eternal, was it? It's everlasting is another word the Bible uses there. It lasts forever. If it doesn't last forever, it's not everlasting. So Esther came before the king. Haman's device turned against his own head, verse 25. Wherefore, here's that. That's the same as the word because in verse 26. Wherefore, they kind of like because anyway. They called these days Purim after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them. Oh, stop right there. That's you and I. Because, folks, Christ came. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to they gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. I didn't quote that perfectly, but it's in John chapter 1. Folks, he came to save Israel. And by the way, he did not fail. Because the Bible says in the future, all Israel will be saved. I'm not talking about people that have lived before, but I'm talking about the nation of Israel is going to turn back to Christ. But meanwhile, he saved us. And there you are, that's you and I in the middle of verse 27. So the Jews ordained in verse 27, middle of the verse, so as it should not fail that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year. And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city. And that these days of Purim should not fail among the Jews, nor the memorial of them, that's a nice word, perish from their seed. Haman plotted. Esther interceded. God delivered. And the Jews rejoiced. Now, that's good. Not just for them, but for us. Satan plotted. Christ interceded. God saved. We can rejoice. Amen? Now, we have a little different situation. And the Jews, of course, did their struggles in life end? No. But the big battle was won. Have our struggles in life ended? No. But the big battle's been won. The most important battle. The eternal battle. We're on the winning side. I read the end of the book. God wins. Just a couple of real quick thoughts. They remembered what God had done for them in verse 28. Do you remember? Amen? We're not so big at celebrating our spiritual birthdays as maybe we ought to be. There's a fellow that I've told you about. His name's Ralph. He lives in South Carolina. He used to live in Maryland. And he's the fellow that when I would preach, he would sit, it was a little bit to the left of center, about 2 or 3 rows back. He'd lean over the pew in front of him, and he would weep, and the tears, there were literally a wet spot on that pew after the end of the message sometimes because he was so glad God saved him. And I jotted down his spiritual birthday. It's in January, I think. Got it in my computer. And just about every year, I send him a text message on his spiritual birthday. Happy birthday, Ralph. And he'll always send it back. I knew you'd send me a message, he said. If I ever miss, I'm going to be a goat, I'm telling you, because he's expecting it now. But he remembers his spiritual birthday. I don't know the day, but I remember when I got saved. Can you remember when you got saved? Remember that feeling? Remember that relief? Remember that joy? Remember that desire to tell somebody? I remember that real well. They remembered what God had done for them. I'll read you four verses and we'll be done. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now you may look at your affliction and think, "Pastor, it doesn't seem that light to me. It seems heavy, it seems hard, it seems long, it seems painful." Paul knew pain, beaten, shipwrecked, left for dead, rejected by his people. He loved the Jews. He said, "My heart's desire is that Israel would be saved." He said, I had to paraphrase it, but he said, "I would take my name out of the book of life if theirs could be added." He loved them that much. That's an astounding thought. I couldn't say that. But he said his affliction was light. And the reason it's light, when you compare your affliction now to the joy then, it's going to seem light. When I was in Maryland, there were some times out there that were unbelievably painful. I've never had worse in my life. But when I visited the church on Sunday, and I see what God has done, and the work that we had done continuing, and the people we had affected that are still there, and more people are there, and the buildings are doing great, and the school's doing great, and the church is doing great, it doesn't seem so bad. When you step into eternity, I'm thinking you're going to be so terribly overwhelmed by the goodness of God. Those painful things in the past are going to seem light then. Trust that we could see a little bit of that today. Hebrews 12:2 says this, "Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Christ on the cross endured. That word "for" means because of the joy that was set before him. The joy in saving you. Amen? And saving me. Because you see, if you're a parent, you can understand this. If you're not, you can still understand it a little bit. And that is, when you have a child, one of the things that makes you the happiest is when your child is happy. And folks, we're a child of God. And one of the things that makes God the happiest is when he can make us happy. That's why he gave us the Bible. That's why we will spend eternity with him. And his joy will come as a result of our joy. So I know good and well he's got some great things planned for us. Romans 8:18, "I reckon," Paul says, "I reckon." Somebody said he must be from Texas. I don't know. But he says, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." In other words, when you compare the sufferings to the glory, that's not much. Now, I look at it right now at the sufferings and I think, that's a lot. Then the glory must be that much bigger. Amen? You got a lot to look forward to, don't you? Jude 1:24, he says, "Unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." We got to finish with joy to the world tonight. In fact, we can do that a cappella, but you can find it. That's one of the only Christmas carols I can play. It's really easy. Because it's just one note after another. But anyway, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Do you have joy? Oh, you will. And I know that there's some times of suffering now and that they may not seem light. But when you see the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's prepared for you, when you enjoy that eternity with him, it's going to be a day, a good day, a day of gladness. And oh, by the way, there's feasting in heaven. I have no idea what we're going to eat, but it will be good. Amen? Let's all stand.